This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1, 3, and 7-day passes. Watch The Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Now bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Ooh, what up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
Pitch. Swing and a wicked line drive hooked into the right field corner, and that's a fair ball off the wall. Scooped up by Haniger. That's going to be a long single as he fires into second. Alvarez wisely holding it first. Set and a 2-1. Swing at a high fly ball left field. That's deep. Calvin back, turning around, looking up, and that ball is gone. Home run. Bregman strikes. And a Houston Astros right back in the game. A two-run shot to make it 7-5 Seattle. And the pitch. Swinging a line drive, base hit in the center field. That'll move Myers up to second. Peña with his first hit of the day. And it comes with two down in the ninth inning when they were one strike away from losing it. And it does get the inning to Alvarez. Here's the pitch. Swinging, there's a drive. Center to right. Back it goes. And that's a walk-off shot. A walk-off shot. You're not Houston pulls it out 8-7.
Great.
Holy cow.
Great timing for the biggest Yordong in the history of Yordan Alvarez's career. A Yordong in the most critical of times. Astros stealing game one against Seattle. He's Blank. I'm Brandon. Brendan behind the glass. It is a Wednesday edition of the Killer Bees, the day off edition of the ALDS edition of the Killer Bees. My reaction when Yordan hit that home run, I jumped off my couch. I almost landed on Branham Baby, and I ran across my house a little bit.
I've seen multiple videos posted of different at-home reactions to how it all went down, and you just love every one of them. I mean, every single one of them. One guy grabbed a Texas flag, ran out his front door, ran down his neighborhood streets up and down, screaming, screaming, "Go Astros!" I just think this is the one that kind of galvanizes the city again and gets them ready for playoff baseball. Because you can say, you know, we always hear fair weather city for sports, you know, sports teams, or until it really matters, do they really get into it? And we saw with the Rockets in the war until they played the Warriors, they didn't care about the early series. This is one of those where early on and they didn't have anything to cheer about. I heard a guy call in to the bench this morning and he was all upset that the fans weren't like, yo, just geeked up on every pitch and everything.
They were
like
sad.
It's like you were getting your ass handed to you from the first inning on, and there wasn't a lot to get geeked up about, but all of us at the right time they did. And then now to cut loose and have it end like that, now everybody's totally dialed in.
That was quite the ending to the game yesterday. And look, I think that you're right. Like the Minute Maid Park lacks some energy. You're getting hammered. You're getting beat by four runs for a majority of the game. Justin Verlander, your Cy Young, got shelled for another playoff outing. There was, I think the fans were stunned, but then they woke up one swing of the bat. I was watching that ninth inning, and all I wanted was Jose Altuve to get a chance with a runner on base, like get a runner on for Jose Altuve, give him an opportunity to tie the game. So whenever they got the runner on, David Hensley, he was like, okay, Altuve's got a shot. Strikes out. Okay, well, Peña, maybe you can get to Yordan. You do.
When he got
Yordan
two strikes, I thought it was over.
Yeah, he got the
when
Peña
got
too.
Two on him, especially because he had been swinging at the first pitch every at bat, and though his last at bat, he did drive one pretty deep to center, but nonetheless, I was like, man, I just feel like he hasn't really gotten comfortable with playoff baseball yet. Mm-hmm. So with two strikes, I thought, well, this looks like it's now over. And then to hit he hit a tough pitch too, but hit a laser up the middle, and I'm going, okay, well, you say there's a chance.
So this home run is one of the all-time great moments in Houston Astro franchise history. There's been a lot of great moments in Houston Astro franchise history, especially in this golden era for the Houston Astros since 2017, of course, winning the World Series. Where does this homer rank for you on the all-time Astro playoff moments? 713-780-ESPN. What are some of the other playoff moments that you love that you can't put this Yordan homer over? 713-780-3776. What do you think this ranks among some of the all-time great Houston Astro moments in franchise history?
Well, I mean, the obvious to me is the Altuve bomb off of Chapman that sent him to the World Series in 19. I think that's pretty much top of the charts because of just the Yankees and Chapman and, you know, and just everything that went into it. That has a pretty big significance. And I think that, you know, and I've heard some good ones. I know that because we have the afternoon show, sometimes some of our ideas get lost because other shows have the same idea, and the bench was kind of in this a little bit this morning. One of them I didn't hear anybody mention that I think that is a massive home run in Astros history is Marwin against Kenley Jansen.
Yeah, game, can't remember. The one in L.A., though. Well,
it was early in the series. I think it was game two where you could have been down 0-2, mm-hmm. and instead just changed the fortunes of the entire series, and I think that's one that – to me, always sticks out as being just a massive bomb that is going to go down in the history books.
To me, there's not a greater moment than the final out for the World Series.
True.
Like that to me is the biggest moment. That did have the dramatics of a walk-off home run. There's been a lot of walk-off home runs for the Astros recently, and some maybe not so recently. To me, there is not a bigger moment than the ground ball to Jose Altuve. He throws out the Dodger. The Astros win the World Series for the first time in franchise history. That to me is the pinnacle. That to me is the very, very highest. But what Yordan Alvarez did yesterday has literally not been done in baseball history before. A walk-off home run win trailing in postseason history has only been done 4 times. Yordan Alvarez did it yesterday. The most recent time prior to Yordan Alvarez was Joe Carter in the World Series in 93. Kirk Gibson, who's limping around the bases in 88.
Yeah, that's huge.
And then Lenny Dykstra back in 1986. Of those 4 home runs, though, only 2 of them were down to the final out, and only 1 of them was with the team trailing by more than a run. So Yordan Alvarez yesterday did something that no player in Major League Baseball history has done in the postseason. Hit a walk-off home run with 2 outs with his team trailing by 2 or more runs. So a legendary at-bat in playoff history and will go down as one of the biggest at-bats in Houston Astro franchise history.
Did you mention the Joe Carter?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, the Joe Carter, to me, that's the one. I'm just saying that because I hear you rattle them off. But yeah. The Joe Carter one to me... because it ended a World Series.
Yeah, it won the World Series.
That was,
they planned the parade.
But what's funny to me about that is, because it sticks in my mind because it ended a World Series, how significant it was, the Gibson home run gets more from a history of baseball
maybe
perspective.
Maybe more drama
yeah,
in it.
Because of the drama, he was injured. The whole, now that you've seen the documentaries, would show that he didn't even think he could stand up, and let alone swing a bat, yeah. And he did what he did. But it's crazy that... that didn't win the series, though it obviously put him in the driver's seat with the Dodgers, but it won a World Series for Joe Carter, and it doesn't get a whole lot of attention.
What are your greatest Houston Astro memories, and where does this home run rank amongst them? 713-780-ESPN, our HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. So I made a list of the top walk-off home runs in Houston Astro playoff history. So a little bit different than where does this rank amongst Astro playoff moments, but... here's what I had. These are my top 6. And look, these are all in my lifetime. I know the 1981 team had some walk-offs and things like that. This is my lifetime. I was born in 85. The walk-off home run that is at the top of my list, and I haven't put Yordan Alvarez on this list yet because I want to talk through it. I want to talk through it with you, with Brendan, and all of our listeners. The best walk-off home run in at least my lifetime, according to me, Jose Altuve's 2019, the ALCS, off of Aroldis Chapman, the Astros go to the World Series. That, to me, is at the very top. Putting together this list too, I think what happens for the remainder of the playoffs kind of factors back into the how it's going to be remembered in Astro lore.
To validate it more.
Absolutely. Yep. I don't think this is going to happen, but if the Astros lose the next 3 games, I don't think we look back as fondly at the Yordan Alvarez home run than, let's say, if the Astros go on to win the World Series. So what happens the remainder of the playoff ride, I think, adds to the... how could we say it? Adds to the history of said home run.
It adds to solidifying it higher on the charts, yep. Right? Because it kind of goes back to the discussions we've had in the past when I say that a regular season only goes so far. Like the Warriors set the all-time regular season mark, but they didn't validate it and punch the stamp by winning the whole thing. I think you're right. If this one leads to another trip to the World Series and more, then this one climbs to even higher stature in all time, in the all-time lore. But if they don't win it all and they fall short, then it was a fun moment, but it really didn't do a whole lot.
That said, Jose Altuve is at the top of my list. The Astros didn't win the World Series in 19, but they got there.
Right.
Second on my list, Chris Burke, the 18th inning Braves home run, 2005, NLDS Game 4, but it gets you to the CS. You end up going to the World Series, and you get swept by the White Sox. Third on my list was the 2017 ALCS Game 2, Carlos Correa. Now you went on, you win the World Series mm-hmm. in 2017. Correa did it again 2 years later in 2019, again in Game 2. That's fourth on my list. Jeff Kent, remember he hit the one in NLCS Game 5. He's walking across home plate. He's saying, one more game, one more game, one more game. Unfortunately for the Astros, they didn't get that one more game. St. Louis would win the next two. They went to the World Series in 2004. And then Carlos Correa, 2020. He's had three walk-off home runs in the playoffs. Correa, 2020, ALCS Game 3, or Game 5, rather. And this is like what I was talking about earlier. Like, you would think that a walk-off home run, ALCS, but you lose in the ALCS in seven games to the Tampa Bay Rays.
Yeah. Yeah, look, that's why winning means something to kind of put the cherry on the top mm-hmm. to where it sits. Now, is it in a discussion? Absolutely. From a dramatic standpoint, and like you said, for the first time ever, being down multiple runs down to the final at bat to do what he did, it's not only from a national baseball perspective, but locally, but it could have more significance as a diehard Astros fan in the history and lore of your favorite team if it like leads to the spark plug that leads to another ring.
Where do you put the Yordan home run in those, though? If, like, we agree on that list, and maybe you're going to tinker a little bit here and there. Mm-hmm. You have Altuve, 19, the World Series trip that you guarantee the World Series off of Chapman. Chris Burke, the walk-off in the 18th. Carlos Correa, whether it was 2017, 2019. Jeff Kent, 2004. Carlos Correa, 2020. Where does Yordan Alvarez rank amongst those? 713-780-ESPN. And where does it rank amongst some of the greatest Astro moments in history? What are your favorite Astro moments in history? 713-780-ESPN. 713-780-3776. We're on Twitch. Always enjoy the conversation there, twitch.tv/ESPN975. He's at Pac-Man Joel on Twitter. I'm at Jeremy Branham. Enjoyed that Yordan walk-off yesterday, and I was enjoying some gentle bit along the way. Vodka, gin, bourbon, all part of that rotation for me. In a local Texas brand, Gentle Bend Spirits does it better than anyone else. They use their state-of-the-art, innovative Proseto craft technology that makes them better in purity, makes them better in aroma, makes them better in taste than your favorite brand of vodka, gin, or bourbon. Purification of Gentle Bend is unrivaled. You'll love what's not in it. Try a sip of Gentle Bend, compare it to your brand, and you're going to taste the huge difference that I did when Ricky Ford, owner of Gentle Bend Spirits, A&M Class of 85, by the way, had me out to the tasting room in Alvin to see what I thought, and ever since then, I've been a Gentle Bend man. It is smooth, it is clean, it eliminates the burn. Enjoy your drink, don't work through your drink. You can find Gentle Bend Vodka and Gin at Total Wine and Specs, also online at gentlebend.com. Also, head to that tasting room in Alvin, try that bourbon, 94 proof bourbon, winner of the double platinum at the Ascot Awards this year. And if you're looking for a place to book a private party, a tasting room is the right spot to do it. Sit back with good company and raise a glass to the very best, Gentle Bend.
You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
You know, he has a very slow pulse rate, I'm sure. You know, and he doesn't show excitement too much. And he has a high level of concentration, discipline, and confidence. And you know you got a chance when your Don comes to the plate. And when he doesn't come through, you're almost surprised. I mean, you know nobody can do it all the time, but he's pretty good at it.
Dusty says that Yordan Alvarez is cooler than the other side of the pillow.
Stu.
Where does that home run rank amongst the best moments in Houston Astro playoff history? Thank you for correcting me, Brendan. It was a dong, a massive dong by Yordan Alvarez. I had it going five rows high into the second deck. That's how big that dong was.
It was large.
It was
and,
large.
And the guy who caught it, willing to give it back to just Yordan. For nothing.
Good for him. That's how we do it down in Houston. Southern hospitality,
baby. I would have negotiations for signed bats and jerseys and things in there.
I would never let that ball leave my hands.
Really?
That is an icon in this city.
I think I would keep it until somebody blew me away with an offer.
That is about as special of memorabilia as you can possibly have.
Yeah.
I was at this walk-off comeback ALDS game one win, and I have the literal ball from it. I
remember the hype that Solar's home run got from the guy that was in the apartments across from Minute Maid, and that was a negative moment, but that got a ton of attention. This one, and we're talking about where it will rank in Astros all-time history, but especially like in the moment right now, in the heat of this playoff run, you could do so many things with that. You could put it on a tour of bars and things and have people go crazy, and you could cash in hand over fist.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was one of the greatest moments in Houston Astro history. I'm going to ask you where it ranks amongst those walk-offs we were just talking about a little bit earlier.
Can you imagine?
Another great moments in Astro history.
As much as you just got enjoyment about talking about how large of a dong it was.
It was 400 and
can you imagine just going to, like, public establishments and saying, you want to take a picture with my
ball?
See,
remember, Billy just doesn't do it for me.
Like, but I'm just saying, you got to go to a bar, you go to all these bars and restaurants and say, want my ball in your picture? Want to take a picture with my ball? No?
Man, it doesn't really do it for me. Like, it's cool, but I don't get, you know, that's not something I get off on. Maybe you do,
you
but
get
I
off
don't.
On large dunks. That's fine. I'm just saying, like,
walk-off ones.
From a million, well, I mean, if you what you do after is up to you. But I'm saying, like, that ball, whether you keep it from a memorabilia standpoint, you could sell it from a memorabilia standpoint, or you could trade it back to Jordan and the team. And unlike that kid that had to, like, squeezing blood out of a turnip, getting Verlander to sign a jersey for him during the regular season, like, you got to believe Jordan himself would sign jerseys, bats, and whatever and say, yeah, it doesn't cost me anything to sign some of this gear and send it to you, and I get to have one of the ultimate pieces of memorabilia in my career.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Where it ranks amongst all-time playoff moments, all-time Astro moments, all-time walk-off moments in just a bit. But let's go out to the HRMP listener line. We've got a full board here. Let's get to Steve. Steve, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's going on, Steve?
I'll tell you what, I was lucky to be at that game yesterday, and I couldn't believe that people were leaving in the eighth inning.
What?
We were down 75. This is the Astros, my friend. They were leaving early at the game. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, we paid a lot of money for these tickets. Well, not a lot of money, but more than usual, obviously, because it's a playoff game. But I would say it would be number one in everything, because I was lucky to be there. But Chris Burke was pretty monster, and of course, with the Correa home runs. But just want to say, I know this is kind of a personal thing for me. My mom passed away almost 5 years, October 16th. She was a diehard Astros fan. She died when the Astros were on the radio. There's a lot of people that were longtime Astro fans that are diehard. This is for all those people that have stuck with the team and didn't give up and didn't leave early and everything like that. So this is monster, man. It was loud because they had all the Mariner fans there. We had to hear their crap the whole game. And the reason why we didn't hang on every pitch, we were losing the whole game. Mm-hmm. We were getting beat at least three runs most of the game.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate the call. Condolences on your mom,
yeah.
But at least there's some positive out of it, pulling from the moment like that. I mean, I heard sixth inning. Now, let me tell you this. The one that comes to mind from not just Houston, from baseball history in the city of Houston, but just overall in the city of Houston, is the McGrady 13 points in 32 seconds. Because it's the same thing. People left early thinking the Spurs had won the game. And then I can't tell you how many people who had tickets said I was there, but I left. And I'm like, I'm sorry, it doesn't count. Like, that's the one that brought back memories to me, because so many people left in the sixth, seventh, and eighth innings, even with Bregman's home run kind of keeping you within, you know, keeping you at bay to say, well, at least there's a chance.
Yeah.
Most people were heading for the exits. The people that stayed are the true diehards, to Steve's point.
Yeah. Sorry for your loss there, Steve. I'm glad that you're able to have that emotional connection with the Astros. Look, Astros are loved in this city. They absolutely are. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Let's go back out to the HRMP listener line for Juan. Juan, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up?
Hey, how you going, guys? It's weird, but nobody's talking about the Alvarez bat flip. Man, that was awesome. Just to see him walk off like a boss. What do you think about it?
I thought it was awesome.
Jeremy just recreated it in the studio.
I thought it was cool. I thought it was awesome. He just, you know, he knew it was gone off the bat. So he just looked over to Alex Bregman and just threw the bat over towards the dugout. I thought it was like a I'm the man bat flip. I am a badass and there's no one that can mess with me. That's how I felt about it.
I thought it was awesome. I don't think there's any backlash for it. I think it was appropriate. Look, the Mariners were showing out all game. Julio Rodriguez and everybody else, especially when they were feeling themselves getting up and building on that lead, they didn't care who didn't like what they were doing, and they got a taste of their own medicine, and they got it at the absolute ultimate time if you're an Astros fan, and it was enjoyable. And from the bat flip to the trip around the bases to the videos and the fans and the players and the reactions and Verlander coming out in his sleeveless to, like, grab him by
that
the collar.
That was hilarious.
I mean, say basically, thank you for getting me off the hook. I mean, that is why you love playoff baseball, and that's why you love this team so much, because they're never out of it, and they just gave you the reason to dial back in and get ready for a hell of a run, for another run, chance at a World Series.
713-780-ESPN, HRMP guest, listener line. It's the guest line, too. 713-780-3776. Let's get Michael in here. Michael, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Michael?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
What's up, Michael?
It's all great. I love your show. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Yep.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I love your show. And props to Steve. I'm down with what he's saying. You know, the one thing I wanted to say was, me and my son, we have nicknames for all the Astros. We have, since he was born, he's 30 years old, Jordan Garrido. But anyway, Jordan, we call him Godzilla. And so he comes up to bat, we go, run for your lives, it's Godzilla. And, you know, y'all should do that. Pass that on to the Astros. They ought to play Godzilla growling and shit when he's about
to... Oh, Michael.
Michael dropping the S-bomb with the emotion.
Michael's
okay.
Got a little bit of a potty mouth there, Michael.
Potty
he's fired
mouth.
Up. I love it, Michael. Michael coming on the Killer Bees and dropping a little S-bomb on a day
that's
after
passion,
the Astros
Jeremy.
Win.
It's just sports passion.
It's just passion. We have no problem. Well,
no.
Brendan might not like it a lot.
No, the FCC might, but we're good.
Yeah, don't report us. It'll be okay. If you don't report us, they'll never know.
Shh.
Although I think Brendan got the button on time.
Yeah,
I don't think that came through. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. So, T-Matt on the text line. We were talking about the Astros, home runs, things like that. Where do they rank? T-Mad says Altuve off Chapman is one. Marwin in the World Series is two. Chris Burke, three. Yordan Homer might be number four. People are also bringing up the Carlos Correa when he had the walk-off in ALCS Game 5 2020.
That was in San Diego, right?
That's part of the reason I had it last, is because there's no buzz in the ballpark.
Right, there's nobody
in the stands. You lose in the ALCS. That's why I had it last on the list. So I'm going to put Yordan's home run over the Carlos Correa one. Can we put it over the Jeff Kent one in 04 in LCS Game 5? I don't know if you can.
I don't know if you can
like,
either.
Like, it was a great
see,
moment.
Now, your list and my list differed because I had Marwin's home run on there.
See, I didn't have... See, this was a walk-off only list, which Marwin's wasn't a walk-off. But I agree with you that Marwin's is very
high. I just thought we were talking about the most significant.
We were.
And so, you know what? The fun thing is that I don't think there's any wrong answer starting at number two. Because I think number one, Altuve is just head and shoulders.
If it's walk-offs only.
Yeah, it's just, that's it. That's the end-all, be-all for every bit of it from the Yankees and what it meant and the trip to the series and all of that. But I think that as you look at it, Yordan, it's fair to put Yordan down four or five right now. But if this team ends up going to another World Series and more, then I think that it validates it being much higher, because even with like the Kent home run and you look at these things and say, well, what was the end result at the end of the season? If this takes you there and you go, well, God, now that you can look back in retrospect and take a breath, what would have happened if they had lost that game? Where would they be if they, you know, didn't get that win? How did that series play out, and was it significant because of how it ended? Those are all things that you will answer later on, but at least it's in the top five because of the significance of what happened.
Yeah, yeah, I think it's in the top five. If you're looking at walk-off home runs early only, I think it's top five. The Marwin's a good one. Like, the final out of the World Series, I think, from an Astro playoff moment is bigger than all of them. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Where does this homer rank on the all-time Astro playoff moments? Also, let's be honest. How low were you on the series when that game was heading to the eighth inning and you were down by four runs? 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, guys, I want to tell you now about my bookie. You got baseball games again today and tomorrow, and you know it's going to keep getting better throughout the playoffs. Well, maybe you're not like us and your Astros, your favorite team, aren't in the playoffs. You want to make it even more interesting for a baseball fan? Well, why don't you go to mybookie.ag and put some money down on some of the games. Football, college and pro, soccer, UFC, all of that. You can bet it at mybookie.ag. And the best thing about it is they take care of you in a multitude of ways. Maybe you're not into point spreads and over-unders, but you're into prop bets. Or you're into more statistical things. Like, you want to get into like a stats on an individual player or a team. And you feel like you've got something that can actually make you some coin and you can capitalize on it. Go to the prop builder that they have there on the site. And instead of worrying about point spreads and over-unders, you can do the prop builder, get into that stat or that team stat that you're interested in betting on, and make it more interesting that way. It's winning season, people, and you got to get involved. Right now, go to mybookie.ag, and they're doing this promotion they do all the time. That's double your next deposit up to $1,000. It's fantastic. You go in, and you log on to the site, mybookie.ag. You put in the promo code BET975, and up to $1,000, whatever you put in, they'll double, and you'll almost instantly see it in your account. More money in your account, more money to bet on games, more chances to win. That's the way they do it at MyBookie, and it's why I always tell you to bet there, because you can bet anything, anytime, anywhere. With the only place I tell you to do it, it's mybookie.ag.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
It's a big difference. I mean, they got a really good ball club over there. They got just a really good all-around team. And just to be able to continue to battle, continue to grind, continue to fight, continue to be resilient. Our team was very impressive today, just the resolve and the guys, and I was really proud of everybody.
Big difference being down 0-1 and being up 1-0, especially with Luis Castillo on the bump in Game 2. Clutch comeback for the Houston Astros yesterday. Yordan Alvarez, the big hero. We'll get into some of the other unsung heroes a little bit later. People on Twitch are just already saying, you got to give praise to Yuli. Don't worry, it's coming. All the praise for Yuli's coming. He was 3-for-4, was fantastic yesterday, and the one time he was out, he hammered the baseball. Loved what we saw from Yuli Gurriel yesterday. Hope it continues, and I'm rooting for it to continue. I'm happy that we saw that from Yuli Gurriel, which, look, it was low on him in the regular season. Hey, if he shows up in the postseason and he's a big weapon like he was in Game 1, totally fine with it. I'm not rooting against Yuli just because I was low on him in the regular
season.
There's
plenty of praise to be handed out, and we're going to cover all of it. But, yeah, I mean, look, this is why, the same way when we were talking about, like, it doesn't matter. It matters, but to a certain extent, then you have to turn the page with what you've done in the regular season and then what it relates to with the playoffs. From a Yuli Gurriel perspective, we talked all season long after a guy won a batting title hitting over 300 and won a gold glove. The fact is, he got into such a horrendous start and slump early, there was no way he was going to hit 300 no matter what he did, and we saw it go up and down. But as a player, from a mentality standpoint, when the slate is clear, when you know that you're starting from scratch, and that all that matters is, now I'm going back to my playoff history. It doesn't matter what I did during the regular season. It changes the psyche and the mentality of a player, and he goes out right away and gets three hits for you, and you say, I totally forget about the regular season. I'm on Yuli right now, and he is there, and he's my guy, and he ain't changing, because that dude right there, no matter what happened in the regular season, he found some kind of a fountain of youth for playoff baseball, and it was fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, we hope it's just not the one game. I hope he continues in the way he was. I mean, he was just hammering baseballs left and right. He had the home run. Mentioned the one time he got out was a hard line out, too. So.
And they weren't squibbers, right? That's the thing that I was...
No, he was crushing the baseball.
When you say three hits, sometimes you say, oh, yeah, three hits, but there was a Texas League mm-hmm. single, and... You know, a seeing eye blooper. No, these were lasers he was hitting.
I think the one time he got out was the hardest hit ball he had.
I think you're right.
Even more so than the home run. 713-780-ESPN. So how low were you on the series? Heading into the eighth inning with the Astros down by 4 runs. Of course, you get 2 on the Bregman homer in the eighth. You get 3 in the ninth. But going into the bottom of the eighth, you're down 7-3. How low were you on the series as a whole?
I was definitely very concerned. I felt like... This is the worst possible scenario that, as an Astros fan, that you could face. You take a team that, whether rightly or unrightly so, was riding on top of the world, feeling they were invincible because of what they did to a team that a lot of people like myself were fearful of in the Blue Jays. They won it the way they won it, the way that they got so much emotion into the way they won it. They came in here riding high, thinking that they could beat anybody. And then, from the first inning, to send a message to the Cy Young Award winner, to everybody on the team that had been the king of the American League for the last 5 years, that, hey, we here, we ain't going anywhere, and we're going to do this to you. They were, like I said, the overly celebratory everything from J-Rod to all the other guys led you to believe, whether you liked it or not, and it should have really been stuck in your craw to go, I hate that, especially on our field right now in this time of the year. But you had no choice but to take it because they were riding that wave. And all of a sudden, I'm going into the eighth inning going, well, I mean, I just can only hope that they can come back against their ace And, you know, it's not about their hitting, because later in the game, capitalized on the fact that your better hitters all did have their timing. Yordan was still stinging the baseball, that they could find it, even if it is Castillo in game two. Then the one that, you know, and everybody's saying who did this and who did that. But for Bregman to get that two-run bomb in the eighth, I think was so huge, and who it was against. Because Munoz is a guy that throws 102.
Yeah, he's nasty.
And so for him to send the message, but also to kind of give that last chance wake-up call to the dugout, like, hey, it ain't over yet. I just tagged the guy throwing 102.
Everything that we talked about going wrong went wrong. Like, why are you anxious? Why are you nervous? Why are you a little bit scared? Well, the rust factor, and Dusty Baker talked about it a lot. He said, look, he was seeing a lot of at-bats early where he didn't feel great. He mentioned Verlander a little rusty. I don't know if that was his issue. One of the other fears, Verlander's command, and Verlander had bad command in and
Verlander's
out of the zone.
Command was definitely an issue.
And that was, to me, the biggest reason why he didn't have a good outing. His command in and out of the zone was not very good. Seattle jumps to a huge lead, silences the crowd. Like, that was how the doctor ordered it from a Seattle perspective.
Right.
Going into the eighth inning, I was already looking at game two as a must-win, for as much as a must-win can be without being a must-win.
No question.
Like, if you don't get game two against Luis Castillo, and I was already starting to look ahead to that. I was like, man, game two Thursday is going to be huge, down 1-0 against Luis Castillo. I didn't see the comeback coming, but that's how big it is for the Astros. How are you feeling heading into the bottom of the eighth? The Astros down 4. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP guest line. Andy, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Andy?
Hey, how you doing?
Great.
Hey, I took a nap at the second inning. I said to myself, this is done. I'm done. They were already down 4-0. And I said, you know what? I usually take a nap, and I said, when I come back, it's going to be a different game. And sure enough, that yearly home run and then the Alex Bregman home run, it's like, all right, there's a pace. Then it goes into the eighth. I was nervous. 5-7. Then all of a sudden, you know, goes into the night. I said, oh, man, we lost. We lost this one. We're going to blame Bregman. No, blame Verlander. And it's like, and we're going to get a lot of heat.
Juan from Cypress.
Appreciate the call. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. That's the one thing in yesterday's game, too. Like, it always seemed Seattle had a punch when the Astros were trying to punch back until the eighth and the ninth inning. Seattle jumps out to the 4-0 lead. You get two runs in the third inning. Okay, you're back in the game. Yordan Alvarez gets the double off the wall, scores two. You cut the lead in half. It's like, okay, you're in a good spot. What does Seattle do? They score two runs in the fourth inning with two outs. Like, I thought Verlander was getting back to Verlander.
Yeah.
Two outs, nobody on. J.P. Crawford coming to the plate, nine-hole. Yep. All of a sudden, he hits a home run. Julio Rodriguez does something. Ty France does something. And then if it wasn't for Yordan Alvarez throwing the runner out at the plate there, it would have been an extra run. It would have been more than the two spot in the fourth inning. Yuli hits the home run in the fourth inning. You're like, okay, great. You know, the Astros, maybe they can get back into it. Bats go silent in the fifth and the sixth. Suarez hits a home run in the seventh inning. So, like, it didn't seem until the eighth and the ninth inning yesterday that anything that the Astros were doing in terms of the momentum, that they were able to keep the momentum, which, I mean, credit to Seattle. I mean,
they kept matching.
Good teams are always ones that can respond after the momentum goes the other way.
Mm-hmm.
Seattle did that yesterday until the ninth inning. The Astros were within striking distance, and then you bring Yordan Alvarez to the plate with a chip and a chair and a chance to win the game. Great players shine in those moments, and Yordan Alvarez with his biggest shining moment of his career.
Yeah, no question about it. And again, you can say that this is what good teams do, but until they actually carry it through, you don't realize the significance. And I think that, you know, obviously we'd be talking about a whole different story had they lost this game, but you look at what it does for Seattle. Everything that I talked about momentum building wise and otherwise has now gone out the window. And now it's like, this is a must win for them to make it a series, because you feel like the air has been let out of their sail. The fact that from a standpoint of riding high from the Toronto series to the invincibility to the way that they were playing and what they did to Verlander and how they were offensively doing the things you were talking about, that all goes out the window. Now, if Castillo doesn't have a good start, I see people on Twitter that are fighting with, and Granato's blasting because they're like, you know what? Screw that. Whether we get down or swept or not, then we're gonna show you what real playoff fans are supposed to be like, because we're going to be jacked up in Seattle. Well, okay, fine. But that's your mentality, as opposed to you were printing shirts saying, hey, Houston, we're your problem before the series started.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Let's go back out to the HRMP listener line. Gary, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Gary?
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, obviously wasn't feeling very good about the game, you know, going into the eighth, but I'm a pretty practical guy and I don't like platitudes, but I mean this team just never gives up, man. Like, I really felt like even if we lost game one, we would still win the series. I mean, frankly, it was unlikely we would win that game. It was incredible. But I never doubted the series. I mean, I don't believe that the Astros are down and out until they're down and out. Like, in the World Series, I still think we were going to win last year until that dude on the Braves hit the home run, like 800 feet or whatever happened. But, yeah, I mean, this team is, I mean, whatever the platitude or coach speak or cliche, like, they're all of that. Like, this is a great team. People in Houston really, really should just appreciate this while we have it. Win or lose, these guys are never, ever going to give up. So, love this team. Obviously, a great game yesterday.
Appreciate the call, Gary. We love all of our callers like we love our children. We all love them equally. Gary's one of my favorites. Look, I still felt, going into the eighth inning down by four, I felt they were going to be down 0-1. Like, that's where I was at. And I was looking at game two from a sense, if you lose that game, you lose to Castillo, which is, like, I think the Astros are actually favorites in that game, but it's coin flip. Coin flip game with Luis Castillo on the mound tomorrow. You go to Seattle down 0-2. I don't like the chances of the Astros to win both of those games. I had the mindset in the eighth inning, okay, you got to win Thursday, but I still feel like the Astros are capable of winning Thursday. I think that they will. But if you're down 0-1, you must win Thursday. You got to split in Seattle, and then, of course, you bring the series back home and you win it in five. I wasn't quitting on the series, but it impacted Thursday's, like, it magnified the importance of Thursday's game.
Sure, absolutely. You're right. And I think that it almost became a must-win on Thursday if you saw it play out, like, for instance, the Braves. Because I'm also looking at that series going, well, at least they're not alone. The Braves lost at home, too. So, you know, you're looking at teams that were sitting where the Astros, because I hate to have that bad look in it from a media perspective as well, where everybody's looking at them going, oh, look, they're about ready to get knocked out and they're going to crap the bed. But, yeah, I was thinking all kinds of negative thoughts simply because Thursday was going to be a must-win against their best pitcher, which, not that it's out of the realm of what this team has done in the past and could do again,
right?
But it's just it's a higher hill to climb than it would be if you just were going into game two with a win under your belt saying, hey, you know what, we're ready for whatever they bring to us because it's going to be a long series.
I think it's a good way to say it. I think it's a really good way to put it. The hill is more difficult to climb. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Let's get Juan in here. Juan, you're in the Killer Bees. You're in the high with the Killer Bees. What's up, Juan?
Hey, guys. You know, they've been super clutchy from the seventh to the ninth inning for the last 5 years, so I got that feeling that they're never out of a game ever until they are. And I love this team. And to me, they're still the best 96-plus mile-an-hour hitting team in baseball. So, you know, the 100-mile-an-hour with the heat that's coming, that's what they like. You want to beat the Astros, you throw, you know, fires, you know, 88 miles an hour, and then you'll, you know, because they can't do any slow-pitch softball. But heat, Cy Young, they got you.
Appreciate the call, Juan. They are a good fastball hitting team. It seems like the Astros hit good pitching. Like, in this golden era, the Astros, more times than not, hit good pitching. And that's one thing that I think when the Astros have had the playoff success that they've had, the one World Series, the three World Series appearances, the five straight ALCSs, is that they're a team that doesn't strike out a whole lot relative to the rest of baseball. And I think that philosophy and that style, I think that plays in October. That plays in the postseason.
It does. And I think that, look, we've had our fun with Seattle during the course of the regular season because of the divisional rivalry, because we kidded that it was their World Series a couple of times when they were finding themselves and they were on their way. But credit where credit is due, that is a really good young team that's only going to get better. That is a team that is full of talent that, as much as they've been kind of a laughingstock in the division during this golden era of Astros baseball, they're a different Mariners team right now, and they're not going anywhere for the next several years when you start with the guy in center field and you look at the money they've spent on pitching. So you have to be aware of all that and give them their props. They handed it to you for about eight innings. They were feeding you your lunch and going, whatever you can do, I can do better. Now, you got to win, but that doesn't mean that you can just cakewalk the rest of the series. You got to take seriously your shortcomings, too, in game one and be damn well ready to play against their ace in game two tomorrow.
713-780-ESPN. Be honest. How low were you on the series heading into the eighth inning down by four runs? 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, tell you about my good people at Fitz Roofing. Look, we're in the middle of hurricane season, for one. And you know that though we've had a dry spell here for a little bit, the rain could be on its way at any day. And you got to make sure that your house, your property, it's ready to take the rain and the moisture and not ruin all your contents of your property and the walls and drywall and everything that goes with it by making sure your roof is ready, safe, and sound. It could be a leaky roof. It could be a whole new roof on your home, your business, your commercial property. But you need someone you can trust to do the work that needs to be done. You need to go to Fitz Roofing. They're the best in the business. They have the best warranties. They have the best ratings. They use the best products, starting with CertainTeed shingles. More so than anything else, from your perspective, if you got something going on, they'll tell you how they can help, and it doesn't cost you a thing. Most other companies, it costs $75 to $100 just to come to your house and see what you got as a problem and then walk away saying that we'll only give you a deal if you do the business with us, and then they still charge you an arm and a leg. At Fitz Roofing, they believe in the way they go about their business and the job that they do so much. They do the initial visit for free while they analyze what you got going on. It's a free, no-obligation inspection. It starts with a phone call, 832-521-3001. They come to you, tell you what they would do. It costs you zero. You want them to do the actual work? Book them. You'll be happy because they'll take care of you from beginning to end, with everything in between taken care of along the way. You can go see all the services they offer, too, at fitzroofing.com. But rest assured, I use them all the time. You should, too. They take care of you, Houston. And that's why I go to Fitz Roofing, making a difference one home at a time.
Informed opinions are always presented here. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
0-1 la cuenta, el zurdo. Viene, batazo, le va al jardín izquierdo. Atrás va la bola. Se va de cuadrangular. Jordan Alvarez lo hace una vez más para el equipo de Houston.
That was the Spanish call on MLB Network. Great the call, Blankers. Great the Spanish call of the Jordan Alvarez walk off.
Give that a steady eight.
Oh, that's a yes. Yes, without a shadow of a doubt.
It's a what?
It's a yes.
What's that?
It's Spanish for 10.
Oh.
It's a 10, okay. Absolutely.
I think it's a solid eight.
No, that's a 10. 713-780-ESPN.
That's why you asked me my opinion, and then you have your own.
Joel just didn't like the word choices. He thought the word choices could be better.
I thought that he was a little bit wordy at times. I thought that it lacked like the consistent information with the emotion.
How do you know?
But overall, because my wife can help me out interpreting what I need
quick.
To know.
That's quick. 713-780-ESPN. Be honest.
Underestimate, you, as you should well know, the quickness of the wife.
I don't. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Brandon, you're in the hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Brandon?
Hey, guys. Just a couple quick points, man. Like, so I really, really, really think that took all the air out of Seattle. They're not out of it, but they are definitely back on earth and in reality. You know, like when you're playing teams like that, you know, you have to keep your foot on the gas, and they left the door open. And I honestly think they forgot who they were playing for a minute, because, you know, that's how good teams do it, man. You know, you just can't leave the door open because it can be decided at any moment. You know what I mean? And I think they really learned from that experience, you know. But like I was telling my buddy when Bregman hit that home run, I was like, hey, man, I'm starting to get these tingles. They're in a bad spot here. They're not closing the door, and the Astros could take this thing. And sure enough, they did. You know, and that's why baseball is great. But what about Yuli, man, finding his swing and coming through? And, you know, your golden ticket Altuve strikes out, but your bronze tickets, well, who was it, Pena?
Yep.
You know, he comes through in the clutch and just gets that single right up the middle and just opens it up for Yordan. I mean, that was amazing. And I don't know. I know Yordan doesn't speak very great English, but I'm pretty sure everybody heard what he knew what he was saying after that bat flip, man. So I'll just hang up and listen.
Yeah,
thanks, Brandon.
A picture's worth a thousand words.
Brandon went Willy Wonka on us with the golden ticket.
What's the bronze ticket? I didn't understand that reference.
Third best.
Why is
moment?
Jeremy Pena the bronze ticket? I just don't understand.
Because the
that.
Gold ticket is the hero, which is Yordan. And he already gave the silver ticket, I think, somewhat to Yuli.
Oh, okay. So he's saying he got third on the podium.
Third on the podium, which I think you're missing Bregman's two-run bomb in the eighth. But, yeah, I mean, there's plenty of love to go around. From his perspective, though, here's one of the other nuggets I was throwing out there in terms of why I think Seattle can be deflated. And he's right. It starts with you ride all that wave, and you're riding it through the whole game thinking, it's our year. We're, you know, we ain't no stopping us now kind of stuff. And now all of a sudden, not only are you stopped, but there are multiple pitchers on that staff now that are going to be questioning themselves. I already mentioned Munoz throws 102, and he got dotted up for a bomb.
Uh-huh.
So he's got something in the back of his mind. Seawald's your closer. He not only gets yanked after he wasn't exactly spectacular, but then they lose. Robbie Ray, who the mayor, he already knows the Astros have made him their stepchild over the year, but all of a sudden he comes in to be the savior and shut the door instead. Gasoline, fire, boom, and gone. And you're going, man, you talk about like the different levels that this got to. From Service, who's now going to be questioned on every move he makes the rest of the series. All those pitchers, all those guys that thought we were celebrating and we were feeling good because we had this game in our back pocket, now are looking at it going, what the hell else can we do and do we have to do to kill this team?
713-780-ESPN. I don't know how you felt, but whenever they showed Robbie Ray warming up in the bullpen early in the bottom of the ninth inning, I went, Robbie Ray?
Yeah.
That was my conversation with myself. I could not believe that Robbie Ray was getting up in the bullpen to face Yordan Alvarez. I went and crunched some of the numbers, not to bore you with the details. Yordan is a little bit better of a home run hitter against righties than lefties. Sure. Not a shock. He's a left-handed hitter. His numbers against lefties are fantastic. Mm-hmm. They're really good. I think he's a higher batting average. I know he does. He's a higher batting average against lefties than he does righties. But he homers more against righties than lefties. Robbie Ray, though, and Seawald's actually better against lefties than Robbie Ray is on the
year. Isn't that crazy?
So I, if I'm a Seattle Mariner, if I was in radio in Seattle today, I am crushing Scott Service. And one of my biggest pet peeves in playoff baseball, and we saw this a little bit with Dusty Baker yesterday, although for the most part, Dusty Baker was great yesterday. I hate when managers all of a sudden go out of routine. They go against
the norm.
They
get cute. We were talking about it yesterday during the day.
They micromanage. They micromanage, and I think it's bad managing. The day.
Don't go away from what got you to where you are right now and in the playoffs and playing good baseball by getting too cute.
Yep.
And that was one of those too cute moments. Oh, we've got some days off coming up. Oh, we can still get him to where when we need him, he's going to be there as a starter for us. But if I can use him here, he kept calling it his silver bullets. I know when to use my silver bullets.
Well,
guess what, Lone Ranger?
You
just got triggered right when you didn't need it, and you got lit up. And that's where you get too cute. And that's where Scott Service has to wear it. And he deserves to wear it because your closer is your most reliable. And we know the psyche of closers, right? It's the same reason why we say when there's not the game on the line and all that tension, they're not the same player, see Ken Giles. But when you look at it and you say, hey, I'm supposed to be the guy that shuts the door here. You're taking me out with one out to get?
Yeah.
He's pissed. He's emotional. He didn't pitch well anyway. And then to see what happened at the end of the day, that could have ramifications more than just that game.
Poor decision. I hate the micromanaging in the playoffs. And then it was poor execution by Robbie Ray. He's lucky he wasn't the first pitch home run. It went fastball, kind of middle-middle, a little bit towards the outside corner of hair. And then he comes back with the very next pitch, fastball, middle-middle, a little bit inside, a little bit low. And I mean, he tried to challenge him back-to-back with 94-mile-per-hour fastballs. They were basically middle-middle.
The thing to me, too, was... you bring up a great point because I kid about the fact maybe he didn't grunt loud enough because sometimes he grunts and tries to put something else on it.
Yeah.
When he threw that first fastball and he knew Yordan is on it, he didn't time it up perfectly yet, but you knew he wasn't missing it. How do you come right back and throw another one? Throw something off speed. See if he'll chase something that goes across the plate on the corner. He was just waiting on it going, I dare you to throw me another one of those. And stupidly enough, he did.
One of the other things, Robbie Ray against the Astros this year, he had an ERA of 11, like in three starts. So, like, lefty-lefty, Yordan doesn't hit as many homers against lefties as righties. But the Astros had his number all year. If I'm Seattle radio right now, I'm killing Scott Service. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Back out to the HRMP listener line for Sean. Sean, you're in the Hive of the Killer Bees. What's going on?
What's up, man? How are y'all?
Great. What's up, Sean?
Good. Hey, I think the Astros right now, if they're not smelling blood in the water, I don't know what's going to do it for them. Just to come back the way they did, I mean, you spared your ace from embarrassment. You know, this is playoff Verlander that we've seen in recent years where he gets gassed out. To save him from that, I mean, this just has to be a soul-crushing defeat for the Mariners. I think you really just got to wipe the floor with them in these last two games. That fan base and that team just has to be questioning themselves left and right after that game. If you can't kill this Giant with the lead they had, and I mean, I was there to see it, that's why I got half a voice right now. I mean, that team, you guys touched on it earlier, they're feeling themselves. Just to go in and do it at a home field and just, you know, shut the door on them. I mean, you talk about it, you know, earlier, they came in and just snatched one from the Jays. To do that same thing to them, I mean, you want to talk about killing momentum. We witnessed it firsthand last night.
See, I actually wish that they were playing today. I hate the day off today.
See,
because, like,
that.
The momentum, to me, if you had the momentum, you want to play them the very next day. Like, if you're stunned and you're hungover from that defeat, they have a full 24 hours plus to be able to bounce back. Like, you have to keep the pressure on Seattle because, look, Seattle has Luis Castillo on the mound. If they get ahead early 2-0, they're like, okay, we get a split in Houston. We go home, we take care of business, we steal this series and win this series. I wish that they were playing today. That way they're still stunned, they're still dazed, and they're still hungover from that loss yesterday.
Yeah, see, I look at it a different perspective. I think from an Astros perspective, you'd like to get right back out there today and continue to just bury them.
Mm-hmm.
I think the more it lingers, we always talk about in the regular season, when you have a game that was sitting there in the palm of your hand, you let it slip away. Well, the beauty is you got a game the next day. You can forget about it. You got a short memory. You get back out there. Suddenly it's in the past, and you're just on to the next one. When you're Seattle and you can't get onto the next one and you've got to spend an entire day and night, no matter where you go, people are going to be asking you the questions. You're going to be talking about it with your teammates. You'd wish there was a game today. Because there isn't, I think it festers and it lingers. And there's more things that guys analyze and hyperanalyze as to why it went the way it did. So I think it's a bonus for the Astros from that perspective. I think I can understand if the Astros would rather play today and make sure that they kept the momentum rolling their way.
Yeah. See, I look at it from a boxer's point of view. Like, you get hit real hard in the fourth round, you get knocked down, you might not recover into the sixth.
Mm-hmm.
So that day off, to me, is kind of that middle round that they're getting for free, whereas, you know, somebody can get
your wind, so to speak.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Seattle's going to be able to get their win. Plus, day off today means Castillo on full rest tomorrow.
That's what I don't
that's
like.
That's the other aspect of it.
Yeah, that's what I don't like. I mean, the one thing that I will say, too, from the it's not just the Yordan perspective, but have you ever seen, and we got into it during the year on Christian Javier, but have you ever seen two guys that have gotten no flowers all year based on their accomplishments in Christian Javier and Yordan? And now, thankfully, because on a national stage, this happened for Yordan, Javier came in, and obviously he had the one mistake, but he looked like he had unbelievable stuff, and you got the announcers talking about it, that it took a whole full season and more for people around baseball to start really talking about how great these two guys are.
713-780-ESPN, if you want to join the conversation, 713-780-3776. Yesterday, Dusty Baker, one of the concerns we had for the Astros heading into the playoffs, I thought he managed his tail off. Do you think so? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, let me tell you all about my good friend Doc Linville, because he is the man, and he has a plan, and he takes care of people on a daily basis. He has this NeoGraft procedure, and he's the best in the business, in my opinion, at doing it. It's real simple. It's like if you have places where you're thinning with your hair, or you're bald and don't have any hair there anymore, and you think there's no way I can ever get it back. That's not true. You actually can. And it's not going to be things that mask the problem, like sprays and creams and foams. It's going to be all about making sure you get your hair back in the most natural way possible. It's taking all the hair from where you have a ton of it, and you'll never lose it. Genetically, that's always on the sides and the back, and putting it where you need it most. Some people have a baboon's butt showing on the top back of their head. Other people's forehead is turned into an 8-head. He can correct all those things. I've been through the procedure, and believe me, I cannot say enough good things about how fantastic it is. And what it's done for me in terms of a game changer, having more confidence, feeling more like myself again, looking in the mirror and going, oh, right, I like it. Well, you can do that too. And as an ESPN listener, you can get a free consultation with Doc Linville's office. Normally costs you $150. As a listener to our station, you get it for free. Go to 975hair.com and book an appointment. Go in with an open mind and a whole bunch of questions. They're going to answer all of them and see if the procedure is right for you too. It's been right for me and John Granato and Jake Asman and Fred Fowler and so many more. And you could be the next in line to reap the benefits of the NeoGraft procedure from Doc Linville. Check them out. Doc Linville, 975hair.com.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and Talkspace, the leading virtual therapy provider, is sharing the message that connection is crucial because good relationships are an essential and sometimes overlooked component of mental well-being. If your relationships could use some strengthening, a licensed therapist from Talkspace can help. Therapy can help you communicate better with loved ones, repair conflicts, and understand how to address loneliness and build community. It's easy to sign up. Just go to Talkspace.com and you'll be paired with a therapist within 2 days. You'll meet with your therapist online on your schedule, Plus, Talkspace is in-network with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. Make personal connections a priority and start today. If you're not covered by insurance, get $80 off your first month with Talkspace when you go to Talkspace.com and enter promo code SPACE80. That's SPACE80. To match with a licensed therapist today, go to Talkspace.com and enter promo code SPACE80.